Hi, this is Dan Gilvezan, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Josh! Josh! You got the touch! Stan Bush here, and you're listening to the latest episode of All Things Transformers.
Welcome to All Things Transformers, which is crossing over with the pull bag for Autobotly April 2023. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, for these Autobotly Marvel Universe Transformers things is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, boy. Volume 3. So, yes, we are here, and we're going to get right into it. Volume 3, collected edition IDW Universe. That IDW is the one that collected it, but it's the Marvel comics continuing on from 87 to 88. This is issues 26 to 38. I'm gonna say right now. Yep, I'm gonna say right now. Issue 38, my favorite.
And not it gets better though. So well, like, if you like 38, this is it's, the rest of it's gonna be kind of up your alley.
No, let's hope. I'm going to get this out of the way now so I don't spend the next however the hell long we're going to spend talking about this. Five colors, one page. Use more color! I know they can't now at this point, but... first up, issue 26, A Funeral for a Friend. Optimus Prime is dead, and Ratchet has spent the last 10 days trying to unsuccessfully repair him. God.
Yeah. That one's quite interesting, because Ratchet's throwing himself a pity party.
Yes, and I know this wasn't the thing back then, because the character wasn't even really, you know, I mean, the character was established, obviously, but the saying and the characterization did not happen until 2012 or 2013 with Prime. As I'm reading this, I keep hearing Ratchet say, insert character, but I needed that. Like, all I can hear is Prime Ratchet and Jeffrey Combs voicing Prime Ratchet. Bulkhead, I needed that. Bumblebee, I needed that. And I guess it was a much, and I know it's the way the light is, but the one panel here as we start is Ratchet's going through the machinery. Optimus Prime is pink. Oh boy. Well, at least it's a different color, sort of. I mean, still red-ish, but, what did you think of this one?
I thought, I liked that Ratchet got everybody else up and running.
Yes.
And he tried with Prime, and then I liked seeing the sick bay. Mm-hmm. And then it was sad seeing him haul off Prime, you know, like, well, nice knowing you, Prime.
Yeah.
And then he's starting to repair, and he goes to the used auto parts. Looks like A1 steak sauce logo.
Yeah.
You see this, you know, the criminal, and then he gets inside Ratchet, and he's like, oh, let's fiddle with this. And, you know, he's starting to tear out, you know, parts of Ratchet with a screwdriver, with a freaking screwdriver, no less.
Yeah, aren't you glad he used the screwdriver? Oh Lord, I cannot. So we all know that, you know, human villains and Transformers are normally, most of the time, they're one dimensional. This whole thing that gets into this arc about the mechanic and all of that, I'm just like...
It's another one of those, like, annoying humans.
Yeah.
Like, at least if they'd gone with, I don't know, like, somebody better? I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't even, like, totally fathom, like, what they should have done.
Yeah, I can't either. And the funny thing is specifically about the character of the mechanic, as I'm reading this, I'm like, okay, so he has his little assistant named Juan. And my first thought was, wait, Juan, isn't that the kid that Trax was driving around? No, that was Raul. But Raul was the kid that was helping, almost helping the Decepticons with their evil car wash, which isn't there an evil car wash in this arc somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Yep, yeah. The car wash of doom with Ratbat.
Yeah, Ratbat's car. Ratbat! Get in your damn tape deck, you idiot. Oh, boy. I know Ratbat's different than whatever. But yeah, no. Like, as soon as I heard Juan and the mechanic, I'm like, wait a minute. Is this make tracks? Is like, are we going to get to see tracks in this? And I don't remember if he does actually appear or not. But, like, that was the first thing I thought of. But, yeah, humans in... why is it for the last, I'm going to say, 40 years? Because we are, you know, X number of months away from it being 2024 and 40 years of the cartoon and the franchise and all that. Why is it that the humans are always the ones that just, like, are second fiddle to the robots? Look, it's Transformers. It's supposed to be the robots. But, like, if you're a good writer, and I'm not saying Buddy Anski is not a good writer. I'm not saying that at all. But if you're a good writer who is using robots and humans, you would think that you'd be able to write both equally well and not have the human characters be the most despised things. Like, I think most, and speaking for myself, I'm going to say in a generalized tone, most of us Transformers fans can't stand humans half the time. Nope.
It's like we watch it for the robots, we read it for the robots, give us the robots.
Uh-huh. And then we get GB Blackrock and the mechanic. And Blackrock isn't written badly at all, but it's like, it's these, and it's not even because it was done in the 80s that it was the standard. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Knight Rider had better human villains than these Transformers comics do. And Knight Rider at times is a very, very cheesy 80s television show.
Well, and even the original Transformers was pretty cheesy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Dr. Archiville and don't even get me started on Sean Berger. Oh, God. Oh, boy. We'd be here all day. Hey, folks, go listen to the TFG1 podcast. You want to hear all that crap. I will say, though, even though they are still using just, you know, five of the same colors, a lot of the colors in this arc, in these stories, in these issues, they're a lot brighter. They're not... like, they use, like, yellows and oranges for backgrounds when most of the... like, especially with Ratchet, because Ratchet is white and red. So you have to use a different color. You can't put... He's going to turn Batman Beyond invisible. You put a white robot next to a white wall. Kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know, of course, we get to see Prime in his casket.
Mm-hmm. On the arc, literally, yep. On the arc.
They're like, well, it's, I don't even know if it's the arc. I think it's just like a space shuttle.
It's just an Autobot shuttle, but
yeah, it's like the one that the Maximals, you know,
tied Megatron to. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But you know, again, that's easily an Autobot shuttle. But it's like, it's not the arc, but it's the same kind of design of, you know, all of this. And, oh, wow. I'm looking at this panel, like, I'm seeing the full, like, the Optimus laid out in the thing. But in the top left-hand corner, I'm finally, like, really realizing where it says, elsewhere atop a starlit blah blah blah, it's Omega Supreme standing next to the shuttle with Optimus Prime rescue style in his arms. At first, because again, folks, unless I zoom in on things, I have 2200 vision. I am legally blind. At first, I thought that was Prime standing there in front of his own coffin.
He's that talented. He can die and hold himself hostage.
Exactly. You know? Oh, man. Yeah, issue 26 was interesting. I'm kind of glad it's over. issue 27 is Trypticon versus the Dinobots. So they bring Triptychon to Earth, or they bring him to somewhere.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what it is. They the Decepticons send him to capture the Ark. But so basically they send him to Earth, and I love the TF Wiki, tfwiki.net, folks. Whoever wrote this, I forget whoever does these articles. King of the Hill is the title of the story here. Triptychon, he's come to Earth to steal all our propane and all our propane accessories. Yeah, Triptychon comes to Earth. The Autobots still need to pick a new leader, since apparently there's no Matrix. So they pick Grimlock.
Me Grimlock, not podcaster. Me Grimlock King.
Yeah, that I'm not thrilled with. It showed how bad Grimlock actually is and why he should never be trusted.
Yeah. Yeah, poor Grimlock. He's just... And again, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to take away from the comics here, folks, but you have to understand, I was a cartoon kid. This is my first time reading any of this shit. And I'm not saying shit I'm not trying to call it shit, but just in general, like, and my first thought was, yeah, Grimlock proved to be a better leader of the Dinobots when he got his new brain and actually got some intelligence versus whatever the hell's going on with him here. And I know we're going to get a bunch more Grimlock once Simon Furman takes over, because Simon Furman has a hard-on for the Dinobots. Like I said, I like Triptychon here. I like him showing up on Earth. I think that's very cool. I love the designs. I can't believe I'm actually saying this. I love, like, the panel where Triptychon first shows up. It says, Triptychon, the ultimate Decepticon killing machine. Okay, technically I know they mean that he is killing four of the Decepticons, but the way that sounds in my head is like, oh, he's killing Decepticons. He's killing his own kind. Oh, great. But the way he looks here, the way he's drawn, and surprisingly, there are more than five colors in this panel. But just
he's not bad. He's drawn that way. No.
Wow. You pulled a Jessica Rabbit out of your hat. That's amazing. He's not even drawn badly. I know.
The quote sounded funny.
Yeah, I know. I know. Absolutely. Go ahead. I can't stop laughing. Go ahead. Yeah. Say whatever you're going to say.
But yeah, then you see, Grimlock trying to assert himself.
All hail, Grimlock, leader of the Autobots.
Yeah. And Perceptor's just like, I'm just going with it.
Yep. We might as well go with it for now until, 2 years later when a more, dynamic hero shows up. Young Autobot Hot Rod there. But what I do like about this is that, again, the whole, like, real life of it being set in Oregon and Washington and that kind of thing and all of that, I think that's really cool. Again, I like it being in the... I like the Transformers when they're either in an unknown city that you... Like, it's not New York, it's not LA, it's not Boston, it's not Chicago. It's just whatever standard city that it looks like a city building. Or if it's in a place that you just don't think to... Like, and the Pacific Northwest has always been what they've been, known for, because that's where the Ark crashed, whatever else. But, like... Yeah, so I like that part of it for this issue. And generally, I liked this issue because it was really cool seeing Triptychon versus the Dinobots, because normally you didn't see that in the cartoon, because by the time Triptychon and Metroplex came around, it was the two of them fighting each other, and the Dinobots were God knows where. So yeah, up next, we've got, and we will rate all the whole story thing or all the issues at the end, folks, but issue 28... Mechanical difficulties. Oh boy.
So, on this trade so far, what are you thinking?
I like it. It's just not like, I like the stories so far. We're only three issues in and I'm liking the stories. I just wish it was a different art style. That's my only, like, I may complain about the five colors, blah, 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 but the stories themselves, I think they are well-written stories. I just think that the human characters are unneeded, but the Transformers stuff between the characters of the Transformers, like, you know, Blaster and Bumblebee or Blaster and Goldbug, because doesn't, what happens here? Doesn't Goldbug get, doesn't Bumblebee get killed or get, because he turns into Goldbug.
Yeah,
during this trade. Well, yeah.
He kind of got destroyed already by the, oh, you know, the earlier stuff, and so right, that's okay, kind of the way.
So that's right. Right. Yeah. So he technically already is Goldbug. I don't know. I was and again, that's, I think that's my confusion, is that his head looks golden, but the rest of his body is basically the yellow beetle versus the gold beetle that he would be in the cartoon series. So again, the color definition is off, but yeah, between Blaster, Goldbug, wow, Gold Blood. Yikes.
Cobra.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Between that and Grimlock is like, wait, New Order's Wheeljack is
Grimlock is pretty much a jerk.
Yeah, Grimlock is not as jerky as and as useless as some of the humans, but he's damn near close. Oh, boy. So, yeah, I'm so far up until this issue, this issue 28 here, the first two, I really did enjoy them. I thought it was fun. This issue here, I feel like it's all about the mechanic, and it's, I don't know. It just doesn't.
I don't like the mechanic at all.
Yeah, so I don't either. Yeah,
I'm happy when the powers that be relinquishes capabilities. I do find it funny in this issue that Grimlock makes himself a crown.
Yeah, he did you do know. That, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, which one? The one on the left. I've always liked the way, you know, the whatever steel alloy sparkle.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he's already wearing one and he has two in his hands. And then Blaster, you know, we couldn't find the mechanic. What? You failed? You know, and so it's just, yeah. And so Grimlock doesn't seem very concerned. And so they're going after the mechanic on their own.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's,
and I think the thing I don't like about issue 28 is, like we said, it's just the Autobots and the humans. There are no Decepticons in this issue at all.
That changes quickly.
Well, obviously, but that's what I'm saying, though. The reason why I don't like issue 28 is because, while I do like the Autobots and I like what's done with them, as far as what they're going up against, it's like, why? Just why?
Well, we get the triple changers now.
Yup.
And, you know, and the scraplets and, like, our own personal cosmic rust.
God, yeah. All we're missing is Bulkhead's girly scream.
Did you just scream like a little girl?
No. Maybe.
Scraplets. Get those things away from me. And again, as someone who never read these before, I never liked the whole thing with it being Sparkplug, Witwicky, and Buster Witwicky, and then come to find out later in this trade, it's like, oh, it's actually his older son or younger son. It's Spike's brother. I was like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Oh, shit, what are we going to do now?
But yeah, so we get this issue, Crater Critters, and we get the scraplets, and we get Blaster and the humans and everybody else trying to destroy these cosmic rusting things. And that last panel of this issue, man, Goldbug looks a little bit worse for wear there. I do like you said, the triple changers show up, Astrotrain, Blitzwing, and Octane. I thought that was awesome. I thought that's great. And I love that. Wait a minute. What did I miss here? Why is Scrounge? Isn't Scrounge dead?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, they brought him back.
Well, at Ratbat, too, is the leader of the Decepticons.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, where is what?
Well, remember, Megatron blew himself up in the space bridge.
That's right. He blew himself up.
Yeah. He went kaboom.
Yeah, Megatron, Kaboom, and Galvatron no more. See, a Ratbat is the Ratbat out of everybody has to, like, Soundwave would be a better leader. Anybody would be a better leader. I do wish we did get more, and I know this couldn't have happened, but more animation stuff with Astrotrain, Octane, and Blitzwing, because I do think the three of them together did work really well. I thought that was great. On to issue 30. Let's see here. Issue 30. Oh, boy. So we have Autobots, Decepticons, and humans in this one. And this is all about the Throttlebots and the Cure. Oh, boy. I just don't care.
And they're all, like, rusting out and eaten alive. And Triple Changers, Blaster, the Throttlebots.
Yeah, everybody. Everybody's getting eaten alive by these Scraplets. These Scraplets are just, you know.
And then they form their own, like, Scooby-Doo of the Week monster.
Yep, pretty much, yeah.
Get on your phones,
scour the internet, and Scooby-Doo this shit.
And apparently water is the cure for all of the infected Transformers.
Well, I think it's a special type. Like something from BlackRock.
Yeah, yeah. Goldbug arranges for BlackRock to have water. Yeah, it doesn't exactly explain, like, what kind of, like, is it Irish? Is it Poland Spring? Is it you know? Is it Fanta water? Maybe it's maybe Coca-Cola can get their water in here somehow. I don't know. Yeah, so far I'm not. Like I said, I was enjoying these, and now, I mean, other than the inclusion of the triple changers, like, this whole Scraplet thing is just kind of.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Scraplets. This beginning part of the arc of the storyline, yeah. I am not a fan.
Yeah, no, not at all.
It gets interesting in the next one, however.
Yes, because next one is, it begins the Car Wash of Doom. All right, the Car Wash of Doom, issue 31. Oh, Buster, you moron. Oh, okay, so Shockwave is back, and he and Ratbat are basically doing a Megatron Starscream thing, like, who's the better leader? Got it.
Yeah, and that will be a continuing storyline with Shockwave and Starscream through pretty much the end of this Marvel run.
Wow.
So, just... don't count either one of them out.
Yeah. And I just can't, like, Shockwave, I could take serious as a leader because he has an interesting robot mode and he has an interesting alt mode. Ratbat is a cassette bat. Like, he does not look like a Decepticon leader at all. And I'm on the panel where he says to Shockwave, you must learn how to be more energy efficient, blah, 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 blah. And I'm looking at his design and I'm just like, okay, I know that's technically the design of the character and that's fine. The colors are what they are, but he just looks, I don't know, he looks wrong sitting, just flying next to Shockwave. I don't know. As you can tell, folks, I go back and forth on my enjoyment or my utter disdain for this series. I might as well make a good attributes and a bad attributes list. Like, what do I... pros and cons. Cons? Humans. Bad coloring. Not enough colors. Like, pros? I like character development between like Goldbug and Blaster and all that, you know. So I don't know.
Well, I like that we got, you know, the cone heads in this, and we got mm-hmm. you know, the Insecticons and
yep.
and the various other facets yeah. of the Decepticon army.
Yeah. And the funny thing about this one is it's more about the Decepticons versus the humans than it is the Autobots, Decepticons, and humans, because you got, and this is the way the TF Wiki lists it, so I don't know if it's right or wrong, Blue Streak and Bumblebee. So is he back to being Bumblebee again, or is it still Goldbug in the book, isn't it? Anyway, you got two Autobots, and then you got like 12 Decepticons, which is normal, I guess, but like, yeah, it's a little one-sided. And then there's the humans and the cliff that they can all go. Yeah. Anyway. Oh boy. I am really starting to like some of the colors that they're using, so there is that. But yeah, these human characters, they're all forgettable. Besides Buster and Sparkplug and maybe Blackrock, the rest of them are all just like there.
Well, get used to some of them because they're not going away. Buster more or less goes away.
Goes away, yeah.
And is eventually replaced by like Spike.
Yeah.
Which is more of what we're used to anyhow.
Yeah. And I want to, I don't know if is it this issue or at some point during 87, 88, prices on comic books went up, folks. Oh no. Okay. Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to look at these again, but like, I just now noticed that we've gone from 75 cents US to $1 US on the covers in the trade air. I'm like, oh my God, they went up a quarter. Comic books went up a quarter. Wait,
they're $3.99 now.
$3.99. More like $4, $5, $6, $7, $8, $9.99 now.
Depends on the issue you're buying.
Yeah, true. And the yeah. So anything else on this issue specifically?
I mean, I'm not a fan of Buster and that whole dynamic. But the whole thing with Blackrock and Ratbat was interesting, and you know, in the sense of kind of reminded me of Dark of the Moon.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, very much so. Yeah, he's easily the Patrick Dempsey of the comic book series at this point.
Yeah. So yeah, I didn't much care for this issue.
Yeah. We get to the next issue, which is used Autobots. Never buy a used Autobot without a Carfax history report. Thank you, TF Wiki, for that laugh, because, yeah, used Autobots. Oh, boy. So Vortex is attacking the Throttlebots.
Yeah, shooting him on the highway.
Yeah.
And then I find it funny that Blaster transforms and stands on two of the Throttlebots and uses them as skate, you know, roller skates.
Yeah, he's using Chase and Roll Bar. I'm like, wait, what? Oh, wow, that's interesting. And, yeah. I
can tell you're just plain lost.
I'm lost, but man, these stories are just like, oh God. Again, I love Blaster. I think it's hilarious that he's riding to first of all, okay, so I'm at the panel where pay attention to where you're driving, Roll Bar, pull over to the left, fast. This image, like, it's giant-ass Blaster standing on two Throttlebots. These robots are what, maybe 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 tons of weight or whatever. Like, how can you, a giant robot person, cassette deck, which you're on a cassette deck in your robot mode, but how can you stand, how can these two Autobots handle your weight? Like, oh, that's, I don't know, that's my suspension of disbelief is not being suspended very well. And yeah, we get to, let's see. Oh boy. This must have brought back memories for you. We get to Big Steve's used cars.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it was like, you know, memories for me because I didn't remember that it even had that name, but yeah.
I'm saying because of your history, not because of, but like just seeing the name, like, oh, right. I used to work at one of those. I didn't own one, but I used to work at one. Oh, boy. So, yeah, good old Big Steve's used cars. I can just hear you yelling at one of your kids.
Don't touch that car.
Where the hell did this car come from? I don't know. Basically, you pulling a Bernie Mac. Like, mammy. God. Oh, Bernie, we miss you. Oh, God. Yeah. So, yeah, that's... This comic, man... And wait a minute. They're in the used car lot. Where do they get the Department of Defense contract? Oh, I see. It's a list of the Autobots. Oh, Steve, you're in trouble now. Big Steve Ludwig. Oh boy. He looks like a Ludwig too.
He looks like a lug nut.
That too. Yeah, so the rat arrives, R-A-A-T, folks, to collect the Throttlebots, and they are intercepted by the Combaticons, and oh boy, this series. I wonder how lost people get with reading IDW, because and then what freaks me out even more is that as we get on to the next issue after this, it switches over to being like, oh, this is a part of the UK book. This isn't a part of the US book. Because in the TF Wiki, if I hit, it's so weird. It freaks me out. If I hit on the TF Wiki, Transformers US number 32, if I hit that forward arrow, it switches the titles and UK is on top and US is on the. I'm like, wait, what? So yeah, Steve's used cars. You got anything else you want to say about your former used car lot there?
No.
So between used cars and car washes of doom.
And rust, you know, and a mechanic, and, you know, and like proverbial rust.
Unicron, save us. You're our only hope. Please.
And it literally goes all over the place.
I know.
That's what makes it like almost unbearable.
Yeah. Again, it goes to prove to you that back then in those days, the
it wasn't much better.
Well,
in some regards.
But my point is that comic books back then, at least for this series, it seems more like for the US Transformers run, it was kind of like trying to do a cartoon of the month or a cartoon of the week kind of thing where certain issues didn't, some issues tied back into other issues didn't. Some of them were just, you know, villain of the week types things. And we are, or I'll speak for myself, I am at a point in my life where I can deal with and enjoy certain villain of the week type things, but most of the time I want a beginning to middle to end comic series that has continuity throughout. Now, sometimes continuity gets jumbled and gets screwed up and whatever else, but at least it's continuity, and at least it's not like seven stories in one comic book issue or whatever, like seven different plots in one. Same thing with movies and TV shows and cartoons. Like, you know, you don't need seven different plots. So how are we going to do Man of Iron? Because Man of Iron has four parts to one issue here.
we do what the Marvel run has.
Yeah, I know. But, like, did you enjoy this? Was this something you liked? Do you like having four parts in one issue? Like, four literally parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I'm not trying to derail the podcast or anything else. I'm just curious because, again, this is the Man of Iron issue. The Autobots travel to England to track down the source of the coded Cybertronian signal, but the Decepticons aren't far behind. And literally, there are four parts. Part one is first encounter. Part two is kidnap. Part three is you've got friends in low places. And part four is Battlefield Castle Stancham.
I will say that the coloring is the best that we've ever had.
I agree. 100%. You know why it's the best we've ever had it?
Because the UK did it?
Well, there's that, yes. But also it's because that in over in the UK book, they're actually using dark colors for backgrounds. They're not using white or they're not using yellow or they're not. I mean, they are, but like, the general gist of the page, the general gist of the outline, and yeah, the art here is much better. Man, maybe we should be covering the UK run. Screw this US crap.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
The Man of Iron issue, basically we've got I need to know if Stancham is a real castle because, or if it's just fictional to this. The castle of Stancham is a medieval castle. Oh, okay. So it is a real. Okay, it is based off of a real place. Okay, I just look at that name and I'm thinking, wait a minute. This was cover dated for October, November 1987. Stancham. No, folks, Stan Bush is not a sham. Stop it. That's all I can see in that title is Stan Sham. Stop calling the man a sham. He ain't no sham. Trust me, I know. You can win if you dare. What else do you want to say about this one?
Nothing.
Nothing.
These were not my favorite.
Yeah. I do like that we finally get Jazz and Trailbreaker and holy crap, Optimus Prime is alive. Right, this is the UK book. This is not the US book. Good, right? But again, we get Jazz, we get Trailbreaker, we get Blue Streak, we get, you know, all of that. I think that's cool. I think that's great. Again, seeing characters that I know and that I like, I think that's the interesting thing with this issue. And again, the darkness of the backgrounds, because most of this is at night, and even the lines on the humans look much better in the UK version than they do in the US version.
Must be a better colorist.
Probably, most likely. Let me just double check here. Let's see. Man of Iron Creative. Let's see. The script was done by Steve Parkhouse. The art was done by John Ridgway for parts one and two, and Mike Collins for parts three and four. The colors, spelled with a U, that's incorrect, but that is what it is.
It's British.
Yes, I know. Josie Furman, not as in Simon, but it's spelled differently, is on 1 and 2. Gina Hart is on 3 and 4. And then Richard Starkins does the letters. I mean, the UK stuff for this was really, really great. And now we get back to US and
our regularly scheduled program.
Child's Play. Oh, boy. I wonder, who's Chucky, Buster or Spike?
At this point, I don't know.
Probably Buster. Just imagine Buster coming back at us. And
yeah. Then Grimlock and his gold helmet.
Yeah.
You know, sparking orders.
Blaster defies Grimlock. Grimlock, leader. Blaster is leader of traitors.
The blaster's in the right, you moron.
I know, because he's a moron. He's like, me, Grimlock King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I...
Then we get Combaticons and Defensor. And,
mm-hmm.
Which, it's the first time I think that we see Defensor.
Yeah.
Although, like, I know we've seen the Protectobots.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I'm pretty sure this is his first appearance here. Yeah. So, yeah, I like that. But, yeah, the... And we get, again, this story just... Again, I like seeing Bruticus and Defensor fight. I like seeing Blaster stepping in to confront Bruticus himself. I like how Bruticus examines the child's fallen form and how Blaster knocks him out with an electrical shock from a down power line. Is this the first time we've seen Hotspot in this series, or has he been in here before?
I want to say he's been in here before.
Okay. Interesting. He started... Matrix-induced vision shared between Optimus Prime and Buster Witwicky. Okay. That was from the Special Teams Have Arrived second generation, or whatever the hell that was. I don't know these comics. People know that I don't know these. I'm reading these for the first time. And... Yeah, I'm hoping when we do get to the, like, I think that's going to be next year's thing at this point, you know, for us to go through the IDW continuity of this, because I guarantee you by the end of August, I'm going to be all marveled out at Transformers. What else do we want to say about, what issue are we on? 35, Child's Play.
I mean, I like the fight with the combiners. Mm-hmm. I can't wait till Grimlock is dethroned.
Yeah.
And then the Autobot, handcuffs more or less.
Yep.
That the children take off Blaster.
Yep.
I loved, and then, you know, Grimlock's sadistic self. With the, you know, the arc shooting at Blastoff.
Yeah, that was a little...
With the humans.
Yeah, come on now. Come on, Grimlock.
Goes to show you, he doesn't care, though.
No, he doesn't care at all.
Grimlock, you heartless dinosaur.
That's right. And we get to the next issue, which is the... Space Hikers story. A group of children are caught in the crossfire of inter-Autobot politics. Okay, Skylynx showing up is cool. Wheeljack is great. Blaster, always great. Combaticons, love seeing them. I like how different the art, like the cover on this one is like so dark, with the little like Jetson looking space kids and Skylynx looking like on the cover like he's going to basically eat them, which is kind of scary. But then the first few panels, the first panel where you have Skylynx showing up, it's like all black and pinkish purple because he's in space and flying, and we get more of what I liked in the UK books was basically dark backgrounds and light, you know, color schemes for the characters in the foreground and stuff. And this to me is where the series kind of turned with the art, because you're not just seeing the standard yellow, white, blue backgrounds. I mean, you still see some of that, but I want to say 80% of this is nice and, you know, spacey and dark and cool.
I did like the kids getting to play around in there, and then them having I find it funny that they had Blastoff. They picked him up, put him inside, and they're all huge compared to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because mass shifting went to toy size.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely it did. But I like this issue. I think this issue is fun. I think seeing Skylynx is really cool. Of course, he's still his arrogant self that he's ever been, you know, let him try to follow me through here. Like, oh, Skylynx. Oh. Optimus Prime, will you please return and just, you know, disintegrate Grimlock so his crown can just fall down the stairs and you can just step. Oh, wait, that's not Optimus Prime and that's not Grimlock. I'm sorry. That's Galvatron. Right. Whoops. Wrong scene. First of all, Grimlock, the Dinobots don't have wheels. Dinobots roll out.
Someone thinks he's a Prime.
He's
I think it is crap though that he shoves the, you know, makes the humans go out, you know.
Yeah, that's
like
that's
flushes
crap.
Them out like yeah. with Blaster, and the other Autobots, you know, see that Skylynx saves them, you know, and is battling Grimlock and the Dinobots and Blaster, you know, they're like, all right, we need a new leader.
Yeah, big
we've
time.
Needed you here for a long time.
Yeah,
Grimlock was less predictable than a random number generator.
Grimlock being anything but predictable, like that's Grimlock. That's what he is. It's like he don't care, man. he just doesn't fucking care. And that's not the good sign of a good leader. Yeah, this issue, again, like I said, what I liked about it, the darker backgrounds, and I think this is like where the art kind of comes into it for me. Hoping we kind of stick with this. Any final thoughts before we get to issue 37?
No.
Okay. Issue 37, Toy Soldiers. I love the cover. I think the cover is awesome. Mayhem Mall. Gotta love it. Maybe not. Suburban Shootout Mayhem Mall. Oh boy. Mayhem at the mall. Oh god. So there have been things. I'm not trying to bring real world into this, but I don't. Oh man. Guns don't solve issues, folks. That's all I'm going to say. So this one we get... again, I have to comment on the quote in the TF Wiki. Mommy, I want one of those giant orange toys. No, you don't, kid. No, you don't.
Yeah, this I can't say is a
no
favorite.
No. I like that we see the Predacons here, and obviously we're talking about the original G1 characters, folks, not time traveling beasts from the future. But how Buster is the only one that can approach the Grimlock Commander Arc without being molested is beyond me. But, yeah, so there's Buster, there's Grimlock, there's all that stuff. And again, the giant robots pouncing on the little toy robots, like the Predacons attempting to pounce on the little toy throttle bots. I'm just like, what in the hell? You want to talk about one of the biggest cases of bullying ever. I love the newspaper. Robots strike again. Oh, God. I do love the way that the Predacons do look, though.
Yeah, they certainly add to the fun factor here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, they do.
And then you get Ratbat leading the charge.
Yeah.
And then the Autobots are, you know, in little toy cars.
Yeah.
Which I was like, why?
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, it goes to Ratbat capturing everyone.
Yep, Ratbat gets everybody. And we get to my favorite issue, and not just because it's the last issue, but any thoughts on...
Nope.
Okay. So the last issue for this trade is issue 38. Oh, boy. Trial by Fire. Let's see. Someone call the exterminator. Oh, well, that's because the cover is the giant Scorponok. That makes sense. Yeah. So this, for me, folks, is basically like a comic book version of The Rebirth, which was the end of the Transformers cartoon series. It pretty much sort of is the same story, except they move around various things. They start off with one of the Nebulons, Galen. He is the intermediary for the robot known as Cerebros, who is, you know, part of the peace-loving Nebulons versus Lord Zarek and the Hive and all of that. So basically, if you've seen Rebirth, you've read this issue of the comic. You don't necessarily need to read this, but I did enjoy reading this. Thoughts from you, sir?
I like that they brought in the headmasters, although there's actually kind of a point here where they're setting up the headmasters comic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and again, I mean, you know, David Wise, you know, because of budgetary reasons, he got cut from 5 parts to 3. I think, you know, 3 parts fitting in whatever it was that he fit in there, he did a damn good job. So, you know, it is what it is. And the fact that you basically fit those 3 parts into this one issue, as far as like the overall origin of Nebulos and having them come to Earth and all that, basically, yeah, this does a really good job. And like I said, this is my favorite issue of the entire trade. I really dug this. I thought this was really good. So, yeah, absolutely. Gort and Arcana and Duros and Stylar Man and Krunk. Oh, God, Krunk. No, folks, not Emperor's New Groove. Think 40 years ago. There were a couple of characters in here that I did not get, though. Like, one specifically. Like, everybody else, I remember them all. But who in the Sam Hell is Grotesque? I'm looking at this thing right. Oh, he's basically a cross between Ratbat and a pug. No wonder he's called Grotesque.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I think that they might be a part of there's like the Monster Pots or the Seacons. But I enjoyed the fact that we finally got something different.
Yeah.
Different bots, different, you know, different kind of continuity going.
Even though it's
and
familiar,
I know this ties into the Headmaster's comics.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so Grotesque, you are correct. Grotesque and the Monster Bots joined Fortress Maximus in abandoning Cybertron. So that's what it is. But seriously, folks, his alt mode looks like a bat, a lizard, and a Frank the Pug from MIB got together and had a baby. Like, that's literally what the alt form looks like. But again, not trying to crap on this. I really do enjoy this. I think it's great. I think it's fun. I think it's interesting. And yeah, favorite issue of them all. And I do like that we do get Galen passing Cerebros on to Spike. I think that's, you know, once he's at the point of death, he asks Spike to forgive him for his earlier blindness and all that and everything else. And I think that's cool. That's interesting. And yeah, I've never not said this to people that I am absolutely a fan of Rebirth. So seeing it here, I was like, oh, wait, hey, wait a minute. I like this. What's going on with this? This is cool. This is good. This is interesting. This is fun. I don't know what's going to happen in issue 39. We'll find out next time here on the podcast. But, like, this gives me a glimmer of hope, sort of, I guess. I don't know. Because the rest of these issues were just all over the place. This has a beginning, middle, and end that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, this is the only one that I actually liked from this volume.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I kind of was like, you know, I could do without.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I could do without. So, yeah. Overall, are we gonna? Do you want to do this individually by issue, or do we just want to do an overall rating for the whole thing?
I want to do an overall.
Okay. 0 to 5. What are you gonna give it?
I'm gonna give it a 2. I did not care for most of the stuff in this run.
Yeah, these issues, man. These 11 issues, 10 out of them, or just, like we've said, all over the place for us. I don't like the human stories at all, for the most part. I like seeing Spike and all of that in that final issue and with Cerebros and all that, because that's what I know from the cartoon. But, and I was kind of sort of serious, but I have no plans on having us do it. But I really think we should have just switched to the UK comics, because seeing that art in the middle, I'm like, this is like a million times better than what the US was getting at the time. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to, would you give it a 2.5 or a 2?
I give it a 2.
I'm also going to give it a 2. I would give it lower, but that final issue just kind of like reminded me of, like, oh.
I mean, I liked some of the characterizations overall.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But the whole point of the story and the art and the whatever, the characterizations are great. I love Blaster. I love what Goldbug was doing. I love all that stuff. I love seeing Skylynx. I enjoyed seeing Grimlock, even though he was a psychopath. But, you know, I enjoy the character stuff. It's just the way the stories unfold and the way that they are told. 10 out of 11 of them are just subpar at best. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I... No. So, up next here in Autobotly April, we're going to get to Volume 4 of the Transformers Classics, the U.S. run. This will be our final issue, Autobotly April episode for this year. Autobotly August will kick off where we continue on Volumes 5 through 7, and we finish off the Marvel U.S. run. So that will be happening in August. I think we're going to have to take a quick break and hear some ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to close the show after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. I'm here to tell you about the DC Comics News Podcast. Here every week to talk everything DC. Movies, TV, comics, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it. Here are a couple of our sponsors. Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast. It's audio justice.
No. It's audio chaos. These wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Regardless, you can catch us on every kind of podcast platform. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere you find great podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
No.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com, at iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
Hey all, P.A. here, inviting you to come over and check out my channel on YouTube. It's just youtube.com/P.A.U.G.H. P-E-A-U-G-H. We got Transformers, for the most part. We got some action figures. Whatever we really strikes my fancy and looks cool and feel like checking out. So come over here. We got some tabletop gaming now over there. But just a lot of fun. Thank you all for watching. I hope everybody's having a great time. And just come over and have some fun. YouTube.com/PAW. Thanks.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind. I remember.
Ba weep grana, weep ninny bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
All right, folks, we are back here on All Things Transformers and The Pullbag. Marvel US, you are leaving me very unimpressed. No response? Really?
Nope.
All right, well, I don't know. At least we only have one more of these trades until August, so there's that. And I'm sure you'll feel sort of the same way with IDW, maybe, I don't know, but...
There might be parts of it I'll like, and I'm sure I'll like some of the art and some of the storylines.
Yeah.
But I was not, like, a huge fan of their stuff anyway. Like, I started collecting it when IDW got the license.
Right, the IDW and, 1.0, yeah.
Yeah, I liked the spotlights, and I liked some of the 1.0 stuff, but then when we got down to it, I just...
Yeah, it probably went a little too real world for you, even though it was just comic characters.
And I don't mind it to some degree, but I don't... Yeah, I just...
Well, because I'm a glutton for punishment, and this is All Things Transformers, I'm sure Ryan and I are going to finish off the what is technically the 3.0 run, the one that you and I started that we just couldn't finish, the 2019 continuity, the one after Unicron kind of thing, because there are six volumes, of 4, 5, and 6. So we'll finish that off at some point later, whatever. And anything else you want to bring up and or any of that before I run through the closing? Anything you want to promote? Anything you're doing that you want to let the people know or any of that kind of stuff?
I mean, I might be interested when I hear the IDW stuff when it's concerned with, let's say, when the Beast characters come.
Right, yeah.
Well, I'm saying I know that the Beast Wars characters, like, they do the Beast Planet.
Oh, Yukaris. Yes. I don't know when that is. I don't remember if that... I don't remember. I don't know. Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Well, then, that's going to do it for this episode of All Things Transformers and The Pullbag. Visit our website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekcastradio for that, or we got all things TFV3 for that show at all at the pullbag for that show. I am at TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
It is at SCP21.
Very cool, very cool. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork and also check out all things Transformers and the pullbag over there as well. Next time will be the final time for now, Transformers Classics Volume 4. For now, I'm TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron.
Make your greatest game to comics and transform and roll out with us here at the Geekcast Radio Network.
Please, Scooby-Doo this shit.
Ugh. I have to do that for like 20 minutes. Yuck.
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.